It's your little friends, and I might drive you around the bend. But I'm sure it's crazy kids will work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
Shock me, shock me, shock me with that deviant behavior. Sinead O'Rebellion. That's what I say to you.
That's what British
says. Shock me, shock me, shock me. That Sarah and I were saying it to each other all evening.
Is that her name? Bridget Jones?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes. It's Bridget Jones from...
Her diary.
From Spider-Man.
Bridget's her first name.
Bridget is... It's Bridget Jones's diaries. Don't... Listen. Look. Don't do this. Don't do this.
Don't do this. What?
Listeners, I told Tanner before the recording that he needed to man up and it was his day to be a big boy because I forgot to take any notes during the movie, which I really enjoyed. But so we're off the rails and Tanner's like, I got a ton of notes.
Yeah.
And what it seems like you're doing is just trying to get me wrapped around the axle of who Bridget Jones is. And that doesn't seem like a great place to start.
Here's the issue is actually I was already wrapped around the axle of Bridget Jones stuff.
I know who Bridget Jones
is. My mind couldn't quite summon her first name. And I took a swing and thought it might be Bridget.
Bridget Jones' first name is
worried that I was wrong, and then I'm trying to get confirmation from you, and in doing so, sucked you in.
Yeah, exactly.
And now we're both just whipping
around.
Now
we're in trouble. Now we're screwed. Yes.
Here's what I think we should start. May I?
Yes, please.
Take the wheel.
That's what I want. Yeah.
This is Strange Bedfellows. We consume romance media. Yes. Two pretty grizzled, emotionless, suppressed... I want to say simps, but it's not quite right.
We're like the James and Lachlan Murdoch of romance media.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I think it's James. I think the other one is James. I could be wrong.
And it's called Strange Bedfellows. I mentioned the name, right? Yeah. My name's Tanner Greenring. I'm the host.
They're the sons. Do you know who... you get the message.
Yes, I know.
Right?
Yes, I know who you're talking... Yes.
We're just like grizzled old men who are just like harpying off like a vast media environment. And reaping the spoils for ourselves. And is the media of romance.
Yes.
Yes.
And we're the puppet masters.
And we're the puppet masters. Yes. Yeah. Good. You did get it.
Yes. I'm joined by my co-host, by the co-host of the show, Jack Shepard.
Yes.
And we are doing a romance movie this week. We used to do a lot of books, and then we both realized, oh man, it takes a really long time to read a long romance
book
every
week. I've got two books queued up for us and two great guests.
Okay.
So perfect. It's going to happen.
Books are going to come back in a big way. And by a big way, I mean we'll start doing some again.
Every now and then. It really is hard to read them. And reading one every week was such a fool's errand. Like, it took you, because I would time it.
Yeah.
It would take me, if I was like speed reading it, like 5 to 6 hours to read one of the books. And that's like a day of work.
Yeah, it would take me like 9 hours to listen to the books.
To listen, yeah. That's it.
But I was like Audible was just like, they would stopped even sending me marketing emails. They were just like thank you emails. It's like, hey, thank you for giving us so much money. You have to download 4 audiobooks a month.
Yeah.
That's our highest tier.
Yeah. No, the last straw for me, or the point where I realized I needed to take a break from books, was when I was walking around the park listening to like sex scenes at like 3x speed.
The sexiest way to consume them. Although I will say it has really diminished our hit segment.
Yeah.
Welcome to my red room.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
Where we talk about where we are when we're listening to the horniest scenes in the book.
There's a sexy scene in this one. It's not very
sexy. I know,
sexy.
But I was, you guess where I was, sitting on my fucking couch.
On your couch, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We both
one of the most appropriate places.
Screenshots. We were watching the movie, it turns out, at roughly the same time.
Yeah, I think you were about 10 minutes behind me. And I'm sorry, I spoiled the end of the film for you.
Tanner sent me a screenshot of the big kiss at the end.
Oh, and we're going to invite our friends in to talk about that later.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, sex bugs, bedpots. It's going to be there's going to be a lot of character work this week.
Oh, boy.
Because Daddy's taking the wheel. So if your favorite episodes are the character ones, welcome aboard.
And I'm just along for the ride here. That's what happens. This is my penance.
Yeah.
That's my penance. I have to do funny characters because I didn't take any notes.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Let's say, we'll say the movie, it's called Empire Records. How much of this episode do you want to be devoted to me talking about the fact that I worked at Tower Records in the 90s? Do we, like, 50%? I think we've, 80%?
In sort of, it's in the, it's in the, like, zeitgeist it's already.
Yeah.
People are already talking about that, so I don't think we need to talk about it too much more.
You think people
we,
are already
I don't think we can add anything to, like, sort of the cultural conversation but happening around it already.
This movie is about me. Literally.
Yeah, right. Yes. Well, I want to, here's what I want to talk about.
Okay.
We've both seen this film before last night.
Yes. Many
I
times.
Want to hear your experience of consuming this film in it was raw dogging it.
You mean for the first time or when yes. I raw dogged it?
Yeah, what part of raw dogging it didn't you understand?
Well, if I could just kind of tease out the metaphor a little bit, the claim you're making is that when you watch a film for the first time, that is the equivalent of having unprotected sex with the film. But when you later watch the film, if you see it a second or third time, you are then having safer, protected sex with the film. Is that just? Correct. I just want, like, is that how the metaphor is working in your brain? Because if that's it, that's fine. I'm fine with it. But if that's, I just want to know that that's the case. Yeah.
In your metaphor, to extend the metaphor,
yeah,
your brain is your penis, and the sensation of unprotected sex is washing over the penis
neurons
of your mind because it's unprotected sex is the film.
Okay.
Understand?
No. But I think I know what you're asking me to say, which is, what did I think of this film when I first watched it? Loved it.
Yes. What was your experience of the film back in 1990? What was it, 93?
I think
95,
I probably
96,
saw
98.
I should say, have I said this before? I wasn't watching this film in the 90s. I was living this film in the 90s.
Yeah.
So I
you
probably
worked at Tower
watched
Records.
It later. I worked at Tower Records. This film
which
is,
guy were you?
Written by a former Tower Records employee about her experience at Tower Records.
Jamie and I had a lot of trouble pinpointing where Empire Records is.
I don't know. I think the person who wrote it was at a tower in Arizona, I think, if I can remember that off the top of my head. But
there
he goes
to
Vegas.
No,
he goes to Atlantic City.
Atlantic
right?
City. Yeah.
So this
but
one,
they're also not in New York and they're not near Boston.
And maybe it's the DC one. I worked at the Tower Records in Foggy Bottom. Maybe it's that one.
That's a funny name.
Yeah.
For a town.
Yeah.
The consensus is it must be Delaware because of the big bridge in the
gotcha.
Background of the
that
final
makes sense.
Scene.
That tracks.
Is there one in Dover, perhaps? Do you you seem like you have encyclopedic
expert,
knowledge of Tower Records?
Yeah, I don't know. And it's also like this is this Empire Records is at this juncture an independent record store. It's not a chain.
Yes. It's a throwback. It's been here since the 1950s.
Which one 30s. Am I? That's a good question. Let's say which one.
Yeah, which
one
guy
we
are you?
Which
it's
guy?
It's sort of an ensemble me? Cast. And actually, let's first let me introduce the Which Guy Are You segment by offering up the dramatic personae.
Yes, perfect. Okay, good.
Bridget Jones
is in this one. She's
smart
Arwen's
girl. Best friend.
She's Arwen's best friend, is she? Arwen's in this one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're best friends. Yeah. Okay.
They're best friends, and she's sort of like she's like promiscuous, and she's owning it.
Yeah, she's promiscuous and she's owning it. Though I think she's maybe not like super happy about why and how she is promiscuous.
You're owning it, Bridget Jones.
Okay, you're owning it, Bridget Jones. Good job.
She used to be friends with this other one called Fiona Apple, but now they just fight all the time.
They fight all the time. Yes.
So who do you want to hear about next, Arwen or Fiona Apple? Because I've introduced two new characters as well.
Tell me about Fiona now.
Fiona Apple, at the beginning of the film, is seen shaving off all her hair.
Yes.
And it's revealed that she has slashed her wrist recently, and it had patched up by a doctor.
Sarah told me a fun fact about the head shaving. Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
She says that...
Is this a segment?
Yeah, this is a segment where it's like, I just
say... Sarah's fun fact?
I say shit that Sarah tells me. She's an absolute dream to watch a movie with. She will look up and relay extremely fun and interesting facts about the movie while you're watching it.
Does she ever accidentally show you made-up facts that we put in the Amazon X-ray?
It could happen. The fun fact is that apparently the lady who plays Fiona Apple in this was told by the director that the like producers of the movie were worried that she was too cute to
play yeah.
this like broody,
like emotional angsty emo
teen, yeah. And that she was in danger of losing her job. And so she was like, I'm going to shave my head. And they just did it in one take.
Works. It worked.
Yeah. But it fucking worked. She looks great.
By the way, I'll just, by worked, I mean, it worked for what it is. This film has absolutely no plot. Anyway, Arwen
strongly disagree
is
with that. Absolutely disagree with that.
Arwen is
even star.
Yes.
Is that helpful?
Liv Tyler, she is like a goody goody, and she's going to Harvard.
But she's a speed freak.
Oh, and she's a speed freak. Yeah.
At least I don't hide what I am, right, Corey? At least I'm not some closet speed freak, right? What, you think I don't see what you do? Do you think I don't see what you do?
She doesn't want anyone to know that, but Bridget Jones knows that because she's her best friend.
Yeah.
Clearly, Fiona Apple used to be friends with Arwen, too, but they had a falling out.
They're all mad at each other.
Yeah.
And
Zach
Fiona,
Morris,
why do we call
like
her Fiona Apple? Just because she's broody?
Yeah.
Okay. And she, she's like just mad at the world.
Yeah, like Fiona Apple.
Yeah.
Zach Morris is like Zach a handsome Morris. Guy who's in love with Arwen.
I think that's me.
That's you. You're that guy.
I'm that guy. Swoopy hair.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
A little bit meaningful, you know?
Yeah, he's an artist.
Yeah. I don't know that I would have described myself as an artist. I'll hold my powder. Maybe I'm not that guy. Let's say
okay.
some other guys.
Okay.
And then
Deadpool is sort of this like Tasmanian devil-like character who doesn't have any characteristics and doesn't move the plot forward at all. He just sort of looks at the looks at you, the audience, every now and then, and yells something at you.
He is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's my favorite guy, and at one point he joins Guar.
He
but
joins
then unfortunately
Guar,
he is
yeah.
consumed by a space worm.
Hey, Mark! You love Guar. Why don't you join the band? Aw, man. Mark, man, you play a mean guitar, man. It's really a shame that you must die.
And it reminds me a lot of the scene in Freddy 5, Freddy's Dead, where the guy gets high and goes into the video game and then Freddy comes.
Here's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Strong contender for that's the guy I am.
You're the Deadpool.
Yeah.
Is he Deadpool? He's Deadpool because he barrels.
He looks at us.
Sometimes.
Yeah, he talks to us.
Yeah. Okay, good. You could be that guy. I think you're, you know what? Can I give you a compliment?
Yeah.
I think you're smarter than that guy.
I think so too, but I think I can bring that sort of energy.
Yeah. Okay.
You know?
Yeah. It's like kind of a manic goofball energy.
Yeah. I think I can bring that if
okay.
I needed to.
All right.
There's a guy called Turtleneck who I thought was maybe you, who at the beginning of the film steals $9,000 and it becomes
and that's
the
plot.
Entire like
yeah,
yeah
that's
plot
the plot.
Of the film.
I'll be him. I just think he's cooler probably than I am or ever was.
Hey, Lucas. What the hell are you doing here, man?
Something happened to me last night in Atlantic City.
Oh, you went to Atlantic City?
Wow. Did you win anything?
No, I did not win.
So if you guys ever wonder if it was nice to know you, I tell you now that it was.
Shit, man, what happened? What happened?
I do not regret the things I've done, but those I did not do.
Lucas, how much? How much?
He's a little bit of an intellectual.
I think I'm Swoopy Hair Guy.
I think you're Turtleneck.
Okay, that's fine. I'll
There's a guy
it.
Called Joe who owns the record
yes.
store.
Yes. And he's
and then there's
long-suffering.
A bunch of other guys.
And so Joe is kind of taken in these 90s teens, and they all work at the record store, and they all have problems, but it's kind of like a family.
I used to pee in my bed.
I did. I wet my bed until I was 10. My mother turned me over to the county when I was 10 to, I don't know, not for being a bedwetter, but for being a bad seat, you know. Anyways, 3 years went by, and then Joe came, and he took me out, and I became the well-adjusted person that I am today.
Yeah, it's a little bit like a family.
And at the beginning of the film, Turtleneck sees a piece of paper that shows that Joe appears to be thinking about selling the record store to a big chain, Music Town.
Yeah.
Which obviously would be selling out, which is the number one. Folks who do not come from the 90s, let me tell you something. Allow me to tell you something. You will not understand this. In the 90s, let me walk you through it. Sit down.
Yeah, sit down.
Everybody who's not from the 90s, sit down.
I lived it. Do I have to sit down, or can I just sort of like pace behind you?
No, no, you pace behind me. You're like, we're on the same, we're both doing this lecture together. You're pacing behind me like a hype man.
Yeah.
Everybody else, sit down. If you're not from the 90s, sit down. In the 90s, we had a thing, and the thing, and it was one thing, and there was only one thing.
One thing.
There was, that's right. There was one thing. And that one thing in the 90s was called selling out.
Yeah.
Selling out. And guess what?
Who was the enemy in the 90s, Jack?
Selling out. The man.
The man.
The fucking enemy. The man. And who do you sell out to in the 90s?
The man.
The man. And but you don't. Do not.
No.
So, is everybody with me?
Yeah,
this is something
I am.
You can't understand because your world is not like this. In the 90s, there was only one thing. It was selling
out.
Now
everyone's selling out.
And you don't
gig economy.
Do it. You can't
all
do it.
All you zillennials and your gig economy.
Yeah. But in the 90s, you couldn't. Nothing. No, you could not do it. It's an absolute no-no. And so that's what this movie is about. Music Town.
Music Town. So, Turtleneck.
So he's like, he has
a stroke of sort of genius, steals all the money out of the safe, and drives to Atlantic City, the hottest destination in the Atlantic Northeast, mid-Atlantic Northeast.
Sure.
Bets all $9,000 on seven on the roulette.
Yeah.
Bang, nails
Bang.
It.
Bang, boom, crushes it. And everybody's like I want to be with this guy. A hot babe gets on his arm and is like, wow, you got the magic fingers today.
$18,000, enough to save...
Enough
not
to
quite,
save,
not quite
almost
enough,
enough to save the record store. Yeah,
right. So he just lets it ride.
He's like, let it ride.
Loses it all.
Gets snake eyes. And but he's still like kind of got this like zen whatever.
He's a warlock a little
he's
bit
a
too.
Warlock. Yeah.
At one point, he's walking through the casino.
Yeah.
And there's a woman at the slot machine, and he like just grabs the handle and pulls it.
Yeah.
I would be outraged if that were me.
Right. Yes.
But he hits jackpot.
He's got a very cool vibe. A very cool effect. Way cooler.
Everyone also, like, they got every guy.
Yeah.
Every kind of 90s guy.
Yeah.
He's sort of like a cool 90s guy. He's like, he's got like the George Clooney haircut, the like Caesar cut.
Yeah.
And he's wearing a turtleneck, a black turtleneck, and like a leather jacket. He's got those like Ali G big yellow sunglasses.
Very cool.
And he rides he's that kind of guy.
He's that kind of guy. He's kind of a beatnik type of dude.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
And yeah, so they've got that kind of guy. Then they've got swoopy hair guy. That's me for sure.
Yeah, he's sort of
he's a lover.
He's every man.
He's an artist. And who else?
Well, there's like the stoners, the then pizza guy,
yeah,
who's
pizza
also
guy.
Their dealer, and then Tasmanian Devil, Deadpool.
Yes, Tasmanian Devil, Deadpool. Yeah,
Tasmanian Devil, Deadpool was like wearing vintage and like flare bottom jeans guy.
Yeah,
which is another kind of 90s guy.
So they get back to the store, and Joe's pretty pissed.
Oh, yeah.
That the money got stolen.
Yeah.
But that kind of takes a backseat to the fact that it is, of course, my friends, Rex Manning Day, isn't it?
Hey, Joe. What's up with the boss threads, man?
Friggin' Rex Manning Day.
What's up with the hostility, Joe?
Say no more, moan anymore. Mwah.
Lips to fuck, kisses, baby, zita, thorn, wah.
Oh, right.
It's Rex Manning Day. And it's not Rex Manning Day. Rex Manning Day is
not
in
today.
April.
Yeah, it's like April 14th or something like that.
But in the movie, it's now, if you're watching.
It's a meme. That's a meme.
That's a meme.
We all used to, back when the internet like fucking owned and wasn't like a cesspool that
should
you
we
all
have
turned
the,
it into.
Yeah, should we have the young people sit down and tell them how the internet used to be?
Let me step up to the podium. You hype me up now. The internet used to be good, and we used to have fun, and we all were kind of in on one big joke, and it was called memes.
Yeah, and it was funny.
And everyone loved it, and we were all, like
having a good time.
Having a good time.
Yeah.
And one of the things we did is every April 14th, we were like, hey, it's Rex Manning Day.
Yeah. And everyone was nice about it.
And we just did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now we can't do that anymore.
Now we're not allowed to do that anymore because of your TikTok.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I know about Rex Manning Day.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's fun. And Rex Manning Day, for folks who haven't seen this movie, is when... So he, it's like a good caricature. Like, it's a guy who is, like, kind of past his prime. Like, I'm trying to think. He's maybe, like, a Chris Isaac type. Maybe even
lamer than that. Even way cornier. He's like a... He's like
Brian
a
Adams.
Michael Bolton.
Mike, not quite as bad as that. He still has, like, sex appeal for Arwen, Evenstar, who's in love with him. Like... He's cool, yeah. But like...
He was on like a Partridge Family style TV show.
All moms are in love with him. He's a little bit past his prime.
He's like... You know who he is? He's like Bon Jovi. Except Bon Jovi's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's not...
And this guy's not cool at all. But he's like the same kind of like aging rock
star. Uncool Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
And he's sold out. He's past his prime. He's doing his tour of record stores. And he's not nice.
No. He's awful. And he's got a sidekick or like an assistant or something. And she's supposed to be important to us, but she's not.
She's not really. But
she ends up dating Joe.
Yeah, that's fine.
So I guess she's like mommy.
But a big part of the plot centers around
Joe's daddy.
Notion that Arwen Evenstar, daughter of Elrond, you know, it's one of the last of the Final Age, you know?
Oh, yeah. No,
she's
going to
go across the summer seas. What? Like, I mean, unless she falls in love, you know, but...
Yeah, and, like, sacrifices her immortality.
Yeah, I mean...
To be with the man she loves.
Yeah, that would be wild. But she's interested in throwing herself at Rex Manning, and I think losing her virginity. I think she...
Yes, she wants to lose her virginity to Rex Manning, and she does a scheme...
Yeah,
where that's her plot line,
and it's predictably it goes really badly, and it's horribly demeaning.
Yeah.
He
just sort of like unzips
his pants. Yeah, he's super like, shitty about it, and it
get
makes
to work.
Sad. Yeah,
you're a sweet girl.
I'm not as sweet as you think.
How old are you?
Old enough.
Sure you want to do this?
Yeah, definitely.
Rock and roll.
And so that is a turning point of the plot, too, because we're sort of now our motley crew of record store employees have something to rally around. Yeah.
There's another guy who they introduce and then dismiss and then introduce again.
Okay.
Later in the film. It's wild. His name is Warren Beatty.
Yes, he's a shoplifting boy.
He's a shoplifting boy, and he gets caught by Turtleneck.
Yeah.
And then they just keep him for a little bit.
Yeah, it's
like a hostage.
He's like Matt. He's like punky. He's representative of another like subgenre of
everyone's a genre of music.
White boy culture. Yeah.
Is that the thing about this movie?
Yeah, but it's like really just like subgenres of alternative mostly. It's like it's like a very limited set of music that everyone kind of is. Yeah.
This kid like he was the kind of kid I aspired to be when I was living in 1995 as an 11-year-old, where
I think
he was
he's
like
troubled.
He was pretty tough, and he was like really into metal and rap. And it's like all the cool kids in 1995, when you're 11, were like starting to explore like metal and rap.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, that's a cool,
cool
guy.
But he's not. He's a shoplifter. But all he really wants is he wants to be cool like the employees and get a job. And because Joe, the record store owner, collects these sort of lost souls, he does, in fact, get that job.
Yes, after everyone quits.
But we're in trouble. Now we've got trouble, right? So listen, folks. We've led you to this point in what seems like a chaotic fashion, but here we all are. Our heroes are united despite their differences with one another because... of two things. One, Rex Manning is bad and has harmed one of their number.
Yeah.
And two, the record store is going to sell out. Remember the homework from earlier? It's the worst thing you can do in the 90s. The absolute fucking worst thing. There's nothing
Can you imagine if this place is a fucking music town?
Yeah. What would happen? That would be the end. That would be death. That would be worse than death.
At one point, Bridget Jones comes out in like a sexy Music Town getup.
Yeah, there's new uniforms that you have to wear at Music Town, and they suck. And she's like, yeah. Okay. And she only wears the Music Town apron and nothing else.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's pretty edgy.
And they said no revealing clothing, didn't they? I think Music Town is actually torn on the revealing garment issue. I think so.
Revealing clothing.
Gina. Got everyone pretty hot and bothered.
It got everyone really hot and bothered, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, so they have to come up with some scheme to save Music. What was the call to arms?
Save Empire.
Damn the man, save the Empire.
Yeah.
Damn the man, save the Empire.
That's cool.
Yeah, that is cool. So they have to come up with some kind of scheme to do that.
Yeah.
Rex Manning, they think they're going to be able to sell a lot of Rex Manning records, but as you can imagine,
it's just older.
When an immovable object meets a unstoppable force.
What does happen when that happens?
Well, we saw it in this film.
Yeah.
It was pretty explosive.
Okay, yeah.
Joe kicked Rex Manning to the fucking curb.
Yeah, he says get out of here.
Get out of here.
Because Rex Manning does eventually then have relations with Bridget
they
Jones.
They slept with each other.
After the failed assignation with Arwen Evenstar, he does have relations with Bridget Jones, who kind of is just like, that's just how she is. Mm. And it's not great. It's not fun for anyone. She feels bad. He treats her bad. She feels awful afterwards. And it's pretty shitty. I mean, this guy's like here to sign fucking records for soccer moms, and like he like tries to sleep with two like teens at the record store. It sucks.
Yeah.
He's
a bad guy, and he gets kicked to the curb, so they don't make any money off of that.
But what if
do you watch a lot of Dirty and Stinky at your house?
Do I watch a lot of the Dirty and Stinky at my house? A question I was not expecting, and the answer is no. I don't know what that is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Their new scheme,
yeah,
is to,
yeah, have a concert.
Oh, get shot up because Warren comes back.
The shoplifter, after being chased from the store, comes back with a gun, and they do disarm him. But
that gun is full of blanks.
There is then news cameras outside, and what if we went?
Here's what Tasmanian Devil Deadpool thinks:
to go be interviewed. Yeah, on the news. And
I'm going to run out there. I'm going to go, whatever Tasmanian says.
There's an epic party. There's going
to
be a party.
And so the perpetrator will now be taken to juvenile hall and likely charged with assault with a deadly weapon, possibly even kidnapping.
I saw the whole thing go down. Yeah, we're here.
Hey, man, check it out. Check it out. Mark's on TV.
Well, joining us is an eyewitness to the scene, an employee of the store who saw it all. Tell us what happened.
Well, see, there was this guy here, and he kind of wigged out and everything, but that's besides the point, because we're having a get-together here tonight. There's going to be free admission, live music, hits, chicks, the full nine yards, man. It's going to be heavy shit here at midnight.
We're live on the air right now, sir. That's the story, Kent.
Anybody can come.
He says, come here at midnight. We're going to do the biggest party in the world. A bunch of, like, really bad like bands are gonna play,
yeah,
some pretty bad music about like sugar highs,
yeah,
and for some reason they go sugar high,
yeah.
It's like, what is it? What is it also about, like being quiet? I don't get it.
It's good. I liked it.
There's a lot of original songs in this film.
Yeah,
the Rex Manning song,
awesome.
That sugar high song,
yeah.
I think Tasmanian Devil, yep. Deadpool,
yeah.
Has
why
like
don't
a song
you say Tasmanian Deadpool?
Why don't I say that? Tasmanian Deadpool has a song with his band. His was the only good one.
They're all pretty great.
Yeah, and then so there's also this like slimy guy who's called Mitch who runs the place.
Yeah. I thought we were going to be doing more characters today, Tanner. We were almost at the break.
We're almost done with our... Well, that's the plot of the film.
Yeah, they save the record store. The girl who shaved her head and who has been having a tough time, they give her a fake funeral to help have her see what it would be like in the world without her. And I think it just kind of works for her because she's got these like gothic vibes. And
she's a little My Chemical Romance. Yeah. I guess we could have called her that instead of Fiona Apple.
Yeah.
And MCR.
And then Swoopy Hair confesses his love for Arwen Evans' star.
And he also quits the job because his whole thing is like, he wants to go to Boston to be with her.
Yeah. And it's nice. And they do a great big kiss.
And they initially buy the Empire Records.
Yeah. And they buy the Empire Records. And they save it from selling out. And guess what? The 90s isn't over yet.
And the man was fucking crushed.
The man is crushed. The man is literally in this. He is represented by Joe's business partner. And he wears a suit, which, again, in the 90s, how did you buy that suit, friend?
Oh,
you
God.
Sold out this hat. Yeah. Disgusting.
Yeah. I won't have it unless it's
disgusting.
Vintage.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not. It has like shoulder pads. Yeah.
Yuck. Yeah, let's talk a little bit more when we get back. Unless you just want to like bang out Burns really quickly.
Let's do our Burns.
So we can just like have the runway.
Yeah.
You know?
I love it. Okay, ready? Let's say it. Let's do it. Let's do this big. Let's go big with this one.
Okay.
It's our Wow. Okay, I'll say mine. Ready? Shock me, shock me, shock me with that deviant behavior.
Yeah.
She says, because...
that's what Bridget Jones says.
It's when My Chemical Romance shaves her head. My Chemical Romance is too late. This is
I know. It's like the Pixies.
Yeah. Well, she says, actually, it's like Sinead, because Bridget Jones says...
Well, Sinead or Rebellion? Shock me, shock me, shock me with that deviant behavior.
When she comes in with her shaved head, and it's funny, and it's good to say that.
Yeah.
It's good to say that to someone.
Joe and Turtleneck are confronting Mitch, the biz bro.
Yeah.
The other day I referred to someone who is a biz bro as a biz bro, and he took offense.
Oh, really?
I was like, it seems sort of like nice and endearing. Like I'm saying, like, I don't think of you as like some businessman. You're my biz bro.
I could see it being feeling derogatory.
I guess. I didn't mean it derogatory, but I know like intent is not.
Was it like someone at the Starbucks? You were like, excuse me, biz bro. I think I think your coffee's ready.
Biz bro. They're confronting him. He comes on this big concert night to like break up the concert. And they all quit. And then he's like, you know what? I don't even want to run a fucking music
store. They all quit. And they're like,
next week, you're going to be the proud owner of one of many music towns across this great land, correct?
Yes.
And you like this because Music Town jacks up their prices so you make more money.
Oh, you're a smart boy.
Now, when Music Town comes in, Joe is out. AJ is out. And all the beautiful little tattooed gum-chewing freaks are out as well.
What I think Lucas is trying to say is that I'm going to open my own store.
May I ask you a question about working at Tower Records in the 90s?
Yes, please. 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 I swear to God, I wish you had done this earlier.
Did you guys do the thing that they do where they're constantly sort of like making annoying announcements over the loudspeaker?
Yes.
Oh, and was it like force fun mandatory?
No.
Like, was it like a Tower Records like policy that like, hey, go ahead and have fun on the intercom?
No, it was just cool. It was like a bunch of like very cool people like me, and we would just like sometimes get on the intercom. And
I think even at like 11, I would have found that pretty irritating.
It was cool.
If I were just like shopping at Tower Records, which I didn't. I shopped at The Finest, actually. It was our local record shop in Fort Collins, Colorado. It was called The Finest.
I may have mentioned this before on the podcast. I'm certain I have, but I had a fellow employee called Mia, and we got in a fight and were so mad at each other and we're not talking to each other. And the way that I dealt with it was whenever there was a phone call for her, even though she was standing right next to me, I would get on the intercom and be like, Mia, come to the register. There's a phone call for you. Pretty good.
That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. She hated it.
Anyway. So they, are all quitting.
Yeah.
I'm still in my burn.
Yeah.
And Joe is explaining why everyone's quitting and how they're going to lose the magic of all these cool hot teens if he tries to make it into a music town, and it's going to fail. And then Turtleneck comes, and he's like, that guy's out, that guy's out, that guy's out.
And it pretty much goes without saying that I'm out.
Yeah.
And then the biz bro says,
well, I wish it had gone without saying, but you don't seem to shut up.
That's funny. That's good.
Yeah.
So you gave your burn, you reserved your burn for the biz bro. You see yourself in him.
Oh, boy. Is that what that means?
I don't know. That's the one that you liked. Yeah.
I did find the antics of the... Here's the thing.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this earlier, and I won't say any more than this, because I know a lot of people love this film.
I love this film.
Thought it was pretty bad on the rewatch. Ugh. And I grew up with this movie.
Yeah.
Did I tell you my origin story
with
this movie?
What's your origin story?
Oh, thanks for asking. Fucking 35 minutes in. Here's my origin story. Okay. My first exposure to this film was I was on a road trip with my friend Ken.
Okay.
And he, it was like probably a few years after the film came out. And yeah. The technology at the time was we were all burning MP3s onto CDs and playing it in like rigs in our cars.
That's cool.
Do you remember that phase?
Yes.
Ken had taken the entire soundtrack of the film, and I don't mean the film's soundtrack.
Oh, you mean like the actual...
I mean the audio track from the film.
From the film. Okay, cool.
And burned it onto a CD, and we listened to it on a road trip, not once, not twice, but maybe four or five times.
And you liked it.
Well, yeah, I liked it a lot. It seemed very cool.
Yeah.
The music was really like pretty mind-blowing.
Yeah. It's very cool soundtrack. Yeah. I mean, cool. It's not a cool soundtrack. It's a fun, very fun 90s soundtrack.
Yeah, it was very eclectic.
They do a big, massive kiss to Until I Fall Away by the Gin Blossoms. So.
Oh! Don't invoke him yet.
Okay,
Jack.
Yeah. We know. We should got to take a break.
So I heard the audio track of the film many, many times before I finally saw it a few years later.
And loved it again.
Loved it, of course.
I think you just had a bad rewatch. It happens. Like, Sarah and I have both seen it many times. You suggested this, so... We were like, oh, sweet. Yeah, I like this one.
Yeah, and I was looking forward to it. And then I watched it again. I was like, oh, this movie's bad.
We had a fucking blast.
It's sort of a mess. It's just like, I think I looked it up, and the criticism, it does not have good ratings. And criticism at the time is like, they had a soundtrack, and they just wanted to like figure out how to make it into a movie. And
they did a great job. They crushed it. I loved it. I've assembled some reviews so we can look at the critical reception.
Okay.
Later, if we have time. It sounds like we got a lot of character work to do. Let's take a break and get into it.
Yeah, let's limber up.
Okay.
Hey everybody, it's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still... pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Jack, before we start some of our character work.
Yeah.
And I know, like, you're in your method, so you're already sort of like in.
Yeah, I mean, I already am the
one of the characters
that we're portraying this
evening. I don't know if I'm totally qualified, but I guess I'm only qualified to do Kinetichek. Being a Connecticut
hit
myself.
Segment, Kinetichek, the much clamored for segment, Kinetichek, where we correct someone's misapprehension about Connecticut.
Yeah, my home state. I'm a landowner in Connecticut.
Yeah.
So I like to, you know, I know a lot about the state. I live here. I own property here. Mm-hmm. I send my kids to school here. Pay my taxes here. I vote here.
You're a nutmegger.
I'm a nutmegger. Yeah. Till the day I die.
Yeah.
I know a lot about Connecticut.
Okay, yeah, no, it sounds like.
I am only qualified to comment on Connecticut, but I do feel like I have at least some pull.
Okay. When it comes to other sort of New England-ish states?
Well, because when you fly into Connecticut, and I don't know, I know you never have because you've never visited me.
I wouldn't, yeah.
I've flown into Travis Airport, is that what it's called?
No.
Oh, Travis County.
Austin Bergstrom.
I've flown into Austin Bergstrom's many times. Okay. Mm-hmm. Intimate with the airport there. But you wouldn't be intimate with Bradley because you've never flown out here. True. The first thing you see when you get onto the baggage carousels is a big mural on the wall behind them that says, "Welcome to Connecticut." And there's a picture of Boston and a picture of New York.
You know what that reminds me of? Back when I used to go watch basketball games in D.C., they're now called the Wizards, but at the time they were called the Bullets, the Washington, D.C. basketball team. They were notoriously awful.
Yeah.
And they would take out full-page advertisements in the Washington Post, and the advertisements were always like, "Come see the Bullets. Play the Chicago Bulls with Michael Jordan! Jordan, Jordan, Jordan!"
Yeah, that's a little what it's like. I feel a little qualified to speak about Massachusetts.
Okay, yes.
I also visit Massachusetts a lot, if you know what I mean.
Okay, no, I get it. This is quite a windup.
What do you mean?
Nothing. You've got me. You've hooked me. Reel
it's
me
our
in.
First Massachusetts checks. Okay. Massachusetts check.
Massachusetts checks.
Massachusetts checks.
Perfect. Massachusetts checks. And it's our hit segment, soon to be a very, very big hit segment, where we say, I'm interpreting from you. I think what's going to happen is we say something that was said or implied about Massachusetts by the film, and then we correct it.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
1 hour, 6 minute, 28 second mark.
Okay.
The stoner pizza guy.
Yeah.
Funny. He's a funny guy.
He's funny. We've said enough about him. Like we've given him his due. He's just in the movie.
He's being confided upon.
Yes.
By Zach Morris.
Yeah.
And he says of Massachusetts, specifically people from Harvard, that they, quote, "eat ivy and rowboats."
Another universe, totally unlike the one we know, filled with big blonde guys who eat ivy and row boats.
Okay. And is that true?
And again, I'm only qualified to speak on behalf of Connecticut. I can't say anything about Massachusetts with any real authority.
Right.
And I would take anything I say with a grain of salt. With a pound of
pitcher
salt.
Pound of salt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Pillar of salt, like Lot's wife.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like the thermal song.
Sure.
Yes, it's true.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
That was what a ride.
Yeah.
What a fucking ride. Wow. And that is true. Yeah. And we can confirm here.
Confirm. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Confirm they with eat, an asterisk.
All they do in Massachusetts is eat ivy in rowboats. And that is true. Yeah,
yeah.
That's true. Thank you.
Do you want to put on a little, a new skin, a new body, a new persona?
Do I? Yeah. Yeah.
Because I want to explore, oh gosh, how do, so there's Deadpool in this movie.
Deadpool's in this movie.
We've talked about Deadpooling before.
Ethan Embry, and he barrels the camera sometimes, and it's like, how, you're wondering how I got. He doesn't do a lot of it.
Yeah, he does do a lot of it.
Okay,
it does happen several times. He doesn't always like directly address us, but sometimes he looks at us and yells.
He looks
something.
Directly at the camera.
He
is
Deadpooling us the whole time.
He's Deadpooling. Yeah,
and the whole film becomes about Deadpooling, and even some of the other characters, like Turtleneck, gets in on the Deadpooling.
They've got to be kidding. In the immortal words of the Doors, the time to hesitate is through.
Turtleneck will Deadpool you a little bit, but I don't want to give people the wrong impression that this movie has like a shitload of Deadpooling in it, like Persuasion did.
It has a shitload of Deadpooling in it.
Okay, I don't think so.
It's soft Deadpooling.
Soft,
but it happens a lot. It happens more than once.
Sure,
I would say it happens more than five times.
It's not like a postmodern movie.
No.
Okay.
maybe.
Okay.
A little bit.
Just get me. Get me where you need me to be.
We have characters.
Yeah.
We have guys.
We've got guys. We got a lot.
For when the movies are about time travel.
Yeah. Jeff and Elmer.
We have guys for when the movie's about kissing.
Yeah. Mr. Kiss and Monsieur French.
We have a guy who is for the reviews.
That's Arbiter Tanner. Yeah. We got a lot of guys. We have a lot of guys.
Do we have guys for when someone is Deadpooling? And should we? And what are they trying to accomplish?
Okay, so this is a lot. It feels like a lot of this is a lot of emotional labor that you're asking.
I'm asking us to do this as a creative exercise together, and we let the sex bugs and the bedpots in on the sort of creative process.
Okay, so and this is
wanna,
just a process.
If you want to like peek behind the curtain, here it is, baby.
This is how it works.
Strap
this is
in.
How the cookie gets made. Okay, so what would a guy be who's like into Deadpool? It's like, maybe it's like a Q type character from Star Trek, probably.
Okay, so we're trying to...
Somebody who's kind of seen through the Matrix, and he recognizes his fellow Deadpools, who like can see past... I just watched The NeverEnding Story with my boy just this afternoon.
Yeah. Oh, how was it?
It was good. The whole way through the movie, Cyril was like, I don't like this movie. I don't like this movie. I'm scared. This movie is scary.
Is
and then afterwards,
movie.
We were like, did you like the movie? And he was like, yeah, it was awesome.
It was great.
But so I was worried that I was traumatizing. He like really didn't like it. Oh, Artax is fine. Artax is fine.
Oh no, he passes.
Artax is fine. But the point of NeverEnding Story is that like for folks who don't remember it or didn't see it, I guess.
Yeah, right.
Like
you get on your soapbox.
The people in the world of Fantasia realize that they're being read or seen by the boy in the real world who's reading the book about them, and it is then implied that like he is aware that we're watching him and that all of these things are kind of connected, and that's why it's the NeverEnding Story. We're part of the NeverEnding Story.
Yeah and I think this is echo somewhere up and down the like chain of NeverEnding Story. This
whenever
there
there's a Deadpool, it's someone who has recognized that they are part of the chain of the NeverEnding Story.
Wow. And I think like we just did. So
yes.
I think have we like now broken through? Like, do we now always have access to the fourth wall?
I hope so. Yeah.
And is the fourth wall like always like, is it dimensions? So maybe that's what we're investigating. Maybe that's what our guys are.
Okay. Yeah.
And
so they're like dimension cops.
I don't love the we've already got cops.
We've already got cops. Yeah. Let's not have less of that.
And we've already got like Doctor Who's.
We've already got Doctor Who's. Okay, so maybe that was a dead end. What kind of a guy, you answer me, what kind of a guy would be a guy who wants to talk about the Deadpool, who like hones
I guess
in on
here's,
the Deadpool?
Here's what's going on. Most of the time we are spectators, right?
Yeah.
On these stories.
Yeah.
But
except when we're Jeff and Elmer.
Tasmanian Deadpool has invited us in, and he's engaged us in dialogue.
Right. He's looking. He barrels the camera, and he says, come in to my film. I'm aware that I am artifice.
So I guess we need to reverse Deadpool.
Okay.
We need to find our place in this film.
Okay.
Jack and Tanner, this is like a like dimension hopper's guide to like fitting in another dimension.
Okay.
He's like, come into my reality.
Yeah.
And you now need to exist in my reality.
Right.
Who are you?
Who are these guys?
What's your first move? And my first move is go to the Gap.
I would go to Pacific Sunway.
Okay.
But we can, it's in the same mall. Like, we can fucking, like ride the subway together and, like,
now, I have a question. I have a question.
Yeah.
Are you being Pacific Sunwear, like, surf bro because that's what you were in 1995? Or is that a character you're going to try on while you're here? No one knows you. You can be anyone.
I think it's just, like, my natural, probably, like, my natural inclination when I go to a mall in the 90s is I would, like, be like, where's the Pacific Sunwear? It's just how I would get my bearings.
I mean, I would go and be like, where's the EB game, the electronics boutique?
Okay.
So I guess maybe I'm wearing, like, a Majora's Mask t-shirt.
So are we going to find ourselves in this movie?
I think we have to. We have a reverse Deadpool. We've been invited into, the connection's been made.
Yeah.
And now we can bridge over to the movie. Just like Tasmanian Deadpool bridged over into our reality.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, man, you've invited us in.
Yeah.
We're like wampirs.
We're wampirs. Okay, so I'm going to go to the mall and I'm going to go to the Pacific Sunway.
What's our names?
Our names in the movie or our names just like forever?
The characters.
Well, Deadpool has a cool name.
Deadpool does have a cool name. You want to reverse engineer it?
Yeah.
So like Dead is like, it's sort of... It's gross and it's scary, but it's also a little bit like alluring, and it's sort of like,
yeah,
I don't know, sort of, there's like a mystique around it that's like, what's next, you know?
Yeah.
Can you just like translate it into like German? That might be kind of cool as a guy's name.
Okay, so I'm on Google Translate and I'm going to translate from German. Okay, so I've put Deadpool.
And if you want to do this at home,
okay, I've got
you can be like a dimension one, like Hopper too.
Okay, so my German, the German translation of Deadpool is Tots Schwimmbad.
It's even better than I expected it to be, and I expected it to be really good.
Tots Schwimmbad is my name.
You know who I'm going to be? Who's another famous fourth wall breaker? Zach Morris.
Oh, yeah, perfect.
Yeah, I'll just be Zach Morris.
Okay, cool. So Zach Morris and Tots Schwimmbad.
Yeah.
And so what do we do now? You've got us into the movie.
So now we're here, and we immediately, like, we're us.
Yeah.
But we need to adapt quickly.
Yeah.
And then we need to find who we are here. Because, like, there's already a whole cast of characters. There's an emo one. There's a, like, I don't know what Turtleneck is supposed to be. You know, there's the stoner. So we got to find our place.
Okay.
You said you're going to Pacific Sunwear, so I assume you're going to be surf guy.
I'm going to get... No, you've misunderstood what Pacific Sunwear is for. It's more rave. I'm getting big pants and like a cool, like shiny...
Isn't that Hot Topic?
No, man, I can't believe I have to explain this shit to you. Like, that's where you go... Pacific Sunwear is where you go to get your rave shit. Like, I will get a visor there. I will get some big fucking huge pants. And I will get like a branded, shiny, tight-fitting shirt.
Okay. Yes, that sounds right.
And I'm going to go to the party. I'm going to go to the big party on the roof at the... Empire Records, and people are going to say, whoa, you look awesome. I love your swoopy hair that you've swooped over the top of your visor. What's your name? And I'm going to say, Tots Schwimmbad.
Okay. Yeah.
And that fucking rules.
Man, your name's so cool, and I'm so fucking jealous. I want a cool name.
Yeah.
Oh, I got one.
Okay.
Okay. And I walk in. So I've landed in this dimension.
Yeah.
Tasmanian Deadpool has brought me over.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's like the rainbow bridge that Thor uses. Mm-hmm. And I'm butt naked. So I'm like, okay, I gotta get to a mall.
Okay.
I don't want to rock the boat, you know?
No, you wouldn't.
I want to blend in. It's like 95. I would probably try to dress as close to like Doug Funny as possible.
Who's
like
that guy?
Khaki shorts, like a button-up t-shirt and like a sweater over it.
That's a guy from a show.
A cartoon that was popular at the time.
Doug. Yeah.
Yeah, Doug.
Yep. Okay, so you would go maybe Abercrombie?
Abercrombie, yes.
Yes.
That's where I'm going to go. And then I do want to pick up, because I think it's very valuable.
Yeah.
I'll probably pick up like a brand new, like mint condition, couple of copies of like Pokemon Blue and Red, which has just come out.
Okay.
And I'd probably pick up like a new Game Boy too. And I would probably be at the party too, but I would probably be pretty busy with the Game Boy.
Yeah, I think probably Tots Schwimmbad and his new friends deliberately gave you the wrong address for the party.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe you misspelled my name. It's surprising you did, because it's very close to your own name.
Okay.
It's Dude Zwembad.
And what language is that?
Dutch.
Dutch, okay. Dude Zwembad and Tots Schwimmbad.
Yeah.
Okay, and so we've got these guys, and that's it. Now that's it. We're in. Now we're just like blending in.
Now we're in. Yeah, and I guess I'm like, I'm like gamer guy, right? And you're like rave guy.
Yeah. And what do we do with these guys? That's it.
I think we've done the thing we do with
them. Okay. Perfect. Yeah. Okay, folks, welcome, everybody, please welcome into the canon two new guys.
Yeah.
Their names are Toch Svembad and
Dude
Dud
Svembad.
I say Dud. Dud
no,
Svembad.
Dude.
Okay.
It's D-O-O-D.
And whenever there's a Deadpool, they have to go into the movie and find a way to blend it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And you don't like it?
I love it.
Okay.
I just want to say what we did.
Yeah, it's a review, and it's an important part of getting things done.
Yeah. Okay, we have about 10 minutes left, but you're in charge. Papa, take the wheel.
I have to, unfortunately, actually take a step back, Jack.
Okay, I take a step back.
You know what also happens in this movie? Sorry, I have to invite Sven back, Dude back in.
Okay.
Gwar breaks, the fourth power wall. Gwar is in it. Yeah, at some point, Tasmania Deadpool eats a very strong
pop brownie. Yeah.
And he starts hallucinating, and he hallucinates that Gwar invites him into the music video to play guitar. And he's then eaten by a big worm, well, fed to a big worm by Gwar.
Yes.
But Gwar is
a thing that happens in this film.
Gwar is breaking the fourth wall in the movie.
Yeah.
And then
it's a lot.
And then the movie is breaking the fourth wall with us. So I guess
it's the never ending story.
Dude and Tote are probably going to have to go into
the Gwar concert.
The Gwar concert
That's easy. I'm gonna go find a giant insect costume.
Oh yeah.
Now that I know what I have to do.
Well, here's a problem though. We know the space worm's coming, and I think most insects just eat other insects.
Okay. So maybe we could be like a plant or something.
Like a big scary bird.
A big scary bird. Yeah. And I'm gonna
space
be
bird.
A big scary
And I guess we should just do a double costume. Like I'll be the butt.
Okay, perfect. The Svembad twins.
All right, now we can exit the...
Okay, thank you.
And sorry, I'm Svembad.
Okay, my bad.
Yeah.
Good. And so what do you want next? You're in charge. We have a few paths open to us, but not a lot of time.
45-minute, 30-second mark.
Yeah.
Tasmanian Deadpool is sort of having a fit around the... they're all sort of having fun and partying and having a fit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a dance break.
Yeah.
There's several dance breaks in the movie.
There's a lot of dance
breaks. That's how you know it's a good movie.
It rules. It fucking absolutely kicks ass. If you haven't seen it, you must watch it.
Tasmanian Deadpool is sort of drawn to this woman who's listening to classical music on the listening station and doing ballet moves.
Do we need to sit people down again a little bit?
and
in the
what's
90s...
What's the discourse?
Listen...
Music state, listening stations?
It was absolutely just fucking life-changing, where it was imagine if you could go into a CD store and not just look at the CDs, but hear them. But fucking hear the CDs.
Hear them, yeah.
You could hear
Every
them.
Barnes and Noble had one.
Yeah. You're adding a whole new sensory element to the music, and it's, some might argue, the most important sensory element for music.
Yeah.
And it would be like little phone booths. We had them in Tower, but we didn't initially have them when I started working. We eventually installed them. And then you could go in and you could sit in the phone booth and you could choose from 5 CDs that the staff had selected for you to listen to. That was
cool.
It.
Yeah.
And you could listen.
What did you pick? Oh, Jack, sorry. Can I ask you a question about the time you worked at Tower Records in the 90s?
Thank you. Yes.
What did you pick for the listening booths?
What kind of shit did I put on the listening booths? I'll tell you what I did. The thing that I did at Tower Records. So you know the film High Fidelity?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the famous scene where he's like... He's like, yeah, I love that. He's like, I'm going to sell 5 copies of this album right now. And he puts on a Beta Band song, which is called Dry the Rain. And it rules. And he puts it on the Over the Store play and immediately flies to the flypaper. The customers start coming up to the register and they're like, hey, what is this?
Yeah. And that was your wet dream back then?
My version of that is, it's kind of a weird one, but I would put on a CD... by an artist called Esthero.
Okay.
I'll play a really brief clip. It's very good and very compelling. But that was my one where it was like, if I wanted to sell CDs, I mean, not sell CDs, but just like be the guy who, like, someone would come to the register and be like, hey,
yeah, what is this?
What is this?
Yeah,
that's what I would put on.
Yeah,
and it's good. Yeah, and that's what I would probably stock the listening booth with.
Okay, sorry I asked. They're all having this dance break. The ballet woman keeps like doing like pliés or whatever. And yeah. At one point, Tasmanian Devil, Deadpool, at the 45-minute, 30-second mark. It's a visual thing, so it's not like you have to put any audio in, unless you can hear it, because like it was pretty, really resonated with me.
Yeah,
really hit me pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you can actually hear it. Okay. Grabs the woman's foot and kisses it.
Yeah, that's weird.
And she's barefoot, by the way.
Yeah, that's a weird moment. Yeah, shouldn't do that. But she is fine. It's fine. Everyone's fine with it.
I wanted to invite in a couple of guests.
Some more characters. Okay, perfect. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, with the time we have remaining here. And this is why we got everything out of the way, Jack, just so we can.
Yeah.
Do you want to do the outro now? Just so we have, like, just sort of the clear runway just to take this wherever it needs to go.
Okay, listen.
Just that we just have to do this now. And this is going to be a treat for all of you who, like, turn off, like, right as the outro starts.
You'll actually finally get to hear what we say.
Yeah,
this has been a wild one because Tanner was in charge this week.
Yeah.
And please subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/BSCCpodcast. Please join our Facebook group. It's Baby Nation on Facebook. Please rate and review our show. Tanner has a live show coming up for his podcast.
Yeah, September 17th.
Other podcast.
Caveat.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're in New York
PM.
Or if you're near New York, go.
Or near a broadband connection because it's
check
live
out
streaming too.
Experience Share Live Show. What's
bit.ly/EXP Share Live.
I have a newsletter that I want people to subscribe to.
It's great.
On words.substack.com, and that's onwords, and it's about words and
tricky puzzles.
I'd love for you to subscribe to my newsletter.
And be a founding member like me.
Yeah, be a founding member.
We have a chat
like
room.
Tanner. We have fun in there. Yeah. And I'll say the movies and stuff that we're doing next week after. But that's all the outro stuff. Now we're going to let give these characters some fucking air.
Yeah.
So all we have to say to leave is just what movie we watched, what movie we're going to watch.
I won't.
And our names.
And I'll just sort of get out of the way because he's going to step in now.
Okay. Okay. And it's Mr.
TARDIS
Kiss,
sound.
Right?
TARDIS sound. Okay. TARDIS sound. And it's me, Mr. Kiss. Welcome.
Welcome. Hello, Mr. Kiss. It's
Monsieur
it's
Francais.
Me. It's Monsieur French. And
welcome.
I live in a garret apartment just outside of Paris, and I'm quite sad.
Yeah.
But you are a transcendent expert on kissing, and I am a scholarly academic who has read
a lot about
the topic.
Book smarts. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're cataloging all the kisses.
Oh, okay. We're collecting all of the different kinds. There are joint project. It's kind of
it's like a
the relationship
mirror.
Is kind of a Doctor Who companion relationship, but the project.
Yeah.
Is that we've both, different as we are, we both agree that it's important to catalog all the different kinds of kisses.
Yeah, these kisses
and you
belong
do
in a museum.
It by doing them, and I do it by writing them down in my
well, I have all of this knowledge already.
Dictionary of kisses. Yeah.
There's not a kiss that someone's done that I haven't seen.
Right. Or
so it's a little bit more like Peabody and Sherman.
Okay, I don't know those guys.
They're like Rocky and Bullwinkle characters. It's like a very smart dog who knows everything and his like idiot boyfriend.
Okay.
Not boyfriend.
Yeah.
And they travel through time and the idiot boyfriend will be like, hey, Peabody, who's that? And he's like, this fucking Caesar.
Okay.
That's what it's like.
Okay, I'm the idiot boy. Yeah. Okay. So what do we see today? It's a kissing at someone's
a man
foot in a
walks by someone
booth.
and she's listening to music and he grabs her foot and kisses her. Thoughts.
Yeah.
Flayed my fucking mind.
I found it very surprising. Yeah. And her reaction was kind of just like rolling.
Charmed.
Yeah, charmed. Yeah.
If anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's the real problem with your cusp generation.
Yeah.
You're like.
Yeah, I'm Gen X right on the cusp. Yeah.
Gen X millennial cusp.
Yeah.
Is you just thought everyone was so charmed by you, didn't you?
We did. Yes. God, you've done it. You figured it out. That was the thing. We were so busy trying not to sell out.
Yeah.
Because we thought that like our authentic selves
Yeah.
Our unsold out authentic selves
was just worth it.
Interesting, you know? And charming. And we never sat down to be like, what if that's not true?
Yeah. What if we have nothing to offer?
Like, authenticity is so important, but what if our authentic selves, like, kind of suck?
Yeah, I think
we never asked that question.
I think the internet and social media has really made that pretty crystal clear. Yeah. And I don't think you had access to those tools yet.
No, we
so
didn't.
I understand your mistake.
We invented it. Yeah. We invented the tools. So
you invented it for my generation just 5 years later to just completely annihilate ourselves with it.
Yeah, just to completely destroy all of humanity.
Yeah.
And then there's a nice big kisses in there. We should do that other one, shouldn't we?
Then I want to talk about on our way out here.
Yeah.
Monsieur French.
Yeah.
Because you do, oh, you do the French kissing. Well, you studied the French kissing.
That's just my name. I study the French kissing. I've never tried it, but...
Are you looking forward to it, or is it not your thing? Like,
it's not really
you don't,
my thing.
You don't eat, were you?
Interested. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The end of the film.
Yeah.
Very end. Again, not necessarily. I guess you could play the sort of like back and forth they have leading
you
up to
you sent
it.
Me a screenshot.
Oh, I sent you a video.
You sent me a video, yeah. It was good.
I recorded it.
Yeah, it was.
And not
quite,
me.
Quite
sorry, this is something I found online because I'm Mr. Kiss.
Okay, yeah,
expert on kissing. And this one also just kind of blew my little nut right off my head.
Yeah,
right out of my dang head.
Yeah.
Arwen Evenstar and Zach Morris do enormous kiss.
Enormous.
And the wind up into the kiss where they've like I started the timer. I watched the scene about 10 times. And I started the timer right when I thought, like, oh, they are, like, past the event horizon. You know, like, this kiss is about to happen.
Yeah.
From the time that starts to the time their lips actually touch is, like, 12 seconds.
12 seconds. And think about it, that in the context of, like, it has become clear that you are about to kiss someone for the first time.
Yeah, let's count
you
to 12 right now. Let's just do it.
You're both leaning in.
One, two, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And then their lips touched.
That's such a long time.
Mr. Kiss is just like, like, he's like, shut it down. They're way past the limits.
I think Mr. Kiss has learned something, though, where it's like, you know how some people say that, like, it's not about, like, especially with, like, jazz or whatever, it's, like, not about the music, it's about, like, the spaces between the music?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Mr. Kiss has learned that there's, like, there's a lot of kissing to be done, like...
It's, like...
Outside of the context
I don't think
kissing.
He had ever thought about it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Kiss starts at, like, touch for him.
Yeah.
Anything that's before it is, like, I don't know.
Yeah, what? Let's
someone
get
else's
to the kissing.
Job, you know?
Yeah.
But now he's
powerful.
Like, wait.
There's something there. Yeah, they really go for it. They really, like, and this is their first kiss. It's not like they're, long-time lovers.
Oh, and then they do, then the kiss itself, and this is where Mr. Kiss is qualified to speak. Myself, I am.
Yeah, yeah.
Kiss itself is stellar.
Stellar, absolutely.
Knocked out of the park.
Yeah, knocked out
classic
of the park.
Classic romance
and then
movie kiss.
Quits the record store and goes to art school.
Yeah.
Which is not selling out technically to go to school, I think. If he had wanted to go to business school, it would be selling out.
Do you think that stats are available on where art school graduates end up working 99.999% of the time?
Is it ad agencies?
Ad agency.
Yeah, but that's post-90s, right? Like, you go to the art school in the
You know
90s.
What, though? I think ad agencies, I know this because my mom worked at an ad agency in the 90s.
Yeah.
I think there was a level of like ironic detachment where working at an ad agency was cool.
Right. You were doing all these ads that were like.
And you're like scoffing at them.
Yeah. No, all the ads in the 90s. And again, everybody sit down if you don't remember the 90s. All the ads in the 90s were literally like, hey, guess what we're trying to do? We're trying to sell you a soft drink. Yeah. Lame, right?
Yeah. So yeah, I think it was actually very cool to like go to art school to be an art director at an ad agency.
Yeah, that's cool. We have to go. It's Rex Manning Day is over.
I know, and I'm like four cubed walls deep.
Yeah,
no idea where I am right now.
We've got some powerful new characters.
You're telling me,
and we've said all the stuff.
Yeah, we've said the entire movie, and we've said our takes on it, and we've. There's nowhere else we can possibly go. And we've already done the outro. So now I guess we just have to pick a movie.
Yeah. So this week we watched a film. The film we watched was...
Oh, no, no, no.
What?
You've done it.
What?
The outro's done.
I haven't said the movie.
You don't have
that
to.
That we're going to... Why not?
Oh, the one we're going to watch. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
This week we watched a film. The film we watched was called Empire Records. Next week, we're going to be watching a film. I did write down a number of films. I can read them off to you right now. I didn't
give me your three favorites, and I'll pick one of those.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Boomerang, Moonstruck, Clueless.
Moonstruck.
Okay. Next week, we're going to be watching Moonstruck.
Let's just do it like that every week.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. All that remains is for me to say that this week I have been, of course, Monsieur French. I have been... Totes Schwimmbad.
Yeah. I have been Tanner Greenring. I have been...
Dude
Schwimmbad. Who else were you? You had a third one. Oh, Mr. Kiss. And I have been Mr. Kiss. I'm Mr. Kiss. I am Mr. Kiss. Sorry to reveal that at last.
And...
It was me all along.
I hope that you find your Rex Manning Day Ever After.
Good. It might be childhood.